Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the National All-In Payments conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the one followed by the four on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, December 2nd, 2014. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Janet Cousins. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Frank. Well, welcome everyone to the Ticket to Work Program's EN Payments Call. Thank you for your participation in this monthly forum where we share information about the intricacies of payment processing for the Ticket to Work Program. We hope this call continues to help you manage your business and gives you the opportunity to ask any questions you may have about the payments process. We usually host these calls on the last Tuesday of each month, but with the holidays in November and December, we combine those calls into this first Tuesday in December. So thank you for making that adjustment with us. Again, my name is Janet Cousin. I'm the supervisor for the Payments Help Desk and the Document Support Services team, and I'll be your host today. Joining me is Deborah Tennessee. She's the manager of the Ticket Operations Department for the program. We also have a member of our Social Security Administration team on the line as well. And we'll be presenting using a presentation for today's call. In the event you're not able to follow along with the GatherPlace link, the presentation has been posted on the TicketToWork.com website in the Calendar of Events section for your reference. And you will have an opportunity to ask questions at the end. We do request that any questions you have pertain to the topic at hand, and we also ask that when you ask those questions, you do not provide any information regarding your personal cases due to confidentiality issues. You can also ask questions in your chat room, and today we're going to be giving a end of year review presentation. The intent of the review is to provide an overview of each component of the various payments processes and include references to resources you can use to find additional, more detailed information about each of those processes. We've got a lot of information to cover, so let's get started. Again, the topics today will include payments basics, we'll have some information about the payment request process, and then we'll talk a little bit about the universal auto pay process. Along the way, we'll be providing information about available resources that you have, and then we'll summarize some additional resources that are available to you in order to get some follow-up questions answered. We hope to have time at the end for a Q&A session, so make any notes of any questions that you may have, and we'll be happy to address those. So our focus today is on payments. However, there are four steps that need to occur before a payment is rendered. First, a service provider must check for ticket assignability. If the ticket is already assigned to another organization, the service provider will not be compensated for services provided. If the ticket is assignable, then the service provider and beneficiary must complete an individual work plan. If this plan is not completed properly, the ticket will not be assigned or it may be delayed and payment will not be given. Once the ticket is assigned, the service provider must then assist the beneficiary in reaching trial work level or substantial gainful activity. The step five indicates that when this occurs, then a completed payment request form must include a certification of services. This form is required for four of the payment intervals. Once the beneficiary is at the outcome stage and the first outcome is paid, then the service provider should consider universal auto pay. To sum this up, steps 1 through 4 are required, while step 5 is only required at the four intervals mentioned, and step 6 is optional. There's more information about this process step on our Ticket to Work website under the Information Center tab. Both the training and the resource documents links have numerous documents that provide detailed instructions on each of these steps. So let's take a look at this Certification of Services form, again, submitted to ensure that ticket holders are receiving the services specified in the individual work plan or the IWP addendum. Social Security asks you to submit this document to make sure that employment networks are providing the services the ticket holders need to return to work and become self-sufficient. As noted on the previous slide, the Certification of Services should be included with payment requests for Phase 1, Milestone 4, Phase 2, Milestone 11, Outcome 11, and Outcome 22. Again, there's more information about this process on our website. Well, let's begin with a review of the different payment methods that are available with the Ticket to Work program. The first method is known as the outcome-only method. Here, you provide the services needed, and once the beneficiary reaches a certain consistent earnings level of substantial gainful activity, or SGA, and no longer receives federal cash benefits due to work earnings, you become eligible to receive what are known as outcome payments. The second method is known as the milestone outcome payment method. Under this method, you can receive what are known as milestone payments. While the beneficiary is achieving certain trial work level earnings, but still receiving federal cash benefits. Once the beneficiary is able to earn higher levels of income and no longer receives federal cash benefits due to work earnings, you can then begin to receive outcome payments. Trial work level is the metric Social Security uses to determine the earnings level required for an EN to earn Phase 1 milestone payments. The trial work level is a set amount provided by Social Security, which may increase yearly. The term substantial gainful activity, or SGA, describes the level of work activity that is both substantial and gainful towards employment. Although seldom done, an EN is allowed to change its elected payment method once a calendar year. If more than one EN or an EN and a state VR agency acting as an EN provide services to the same beneficiary at different points in time, the ENs may be required to split available payments.
And one piece of information we wanted to emphasize under the milestone outcome payment method is that under the milestone outcome payment method, while the beneficiary is in a what we call a current pay situation receiving a monthly benefit payment, there are two phases of milestone payments. Phase one, the beneficiary is in a current pay status and the earnings are trial work level. But for phase two milestones, the beneficiary, again, is in current pay status, but the earnings level is at SGA. So a EN may receive, it's possible to receive a phase two milestone payment or an outcome payment when the earnings are at SGA level. It depends on the beneficiary's status. Again, if the beneficiary is in current pay, the EN may be eligible for a Phase 2 milestone. But if the beneficiary has been placed in suspense due to worker earnings and the earnings level is at or above SGA, the EN is eligible for outcome payment.
Great. Thanks for that clarification, Deborah. All right. So now that we've discussed the difference between SGA and trial work level earnings, let's take a look at how these relate to the two different payment methods for employment networks, beginning with the outcome-only payment method. Under the outcome-only payment method, an EN will not receive any form of payment until the beneficiary reaches the gross SGA earnings level, net earnings for self-employment income, and no longer receives federal cash benefits due to work earnings. Under this method, the outcome payment amounts your EN may receive vary depending on the type of benefits that the beneficiary had been receiving. If the beneficiary had been receiving supplemental security income, or SSI, then your EN is eligible to receive up to 60 payments at the amount specified there, $436 per month. And that would equal a total of $26,160. If the beneficiary had been receiving Social Security Disability Insurance, or SSDI, your EN is eligible to receive up to 36 payments of $758 per month, or $27,288. The second payment method is the milestone outcome payment method. The milestone outcome payment method allows for the EN to be compensated during various phases of the beneficiary's journey towards self-sufficiency. This means that the EN does not have to wait until the beneficiary's disability payments have completely stopped in order to receive payments. Instead, the EN is eligible for payments while the ticket holder is still receiving benefits. As shown here, there are three different types of payments: phase two milestone payments and outcome payments, in addition to the phase one milestone payments. We'll take a closer look at these payments on the following slides. All right, so phase one milestone payments. There's four possible milestone payments under phase one. In order to receive these payments, the ticket holder must earn the trial work level amounts, as Deborah explained. Phase 1, Milestone 1, can be paid once the ticket holder has earned the trial work level amount for 1 month. This payment may also be available if the beneficiary did not work the entire month, but was earning enough that it would have equaled trial work level if that person had worked the entire month. So in this case, the beneficiary should have earned no less than 50% of the trial work level. And then you can see for each milestone phase what the earnings requirements are and what the payment amount will be. So for example, phase one milestone three can be paid once the ticket holder has earned the trial work level amount for 6 months within 12-month period. And milestone four can be earned within, if there's earnings within 9 months of the past 18 months. All right, so let's take a look at phase two milestones. And here, these are paid when the ticket holder reaches substantial gainful activity, but still receives benefits from Social Security. All phase two milestone payments are based on SGA earnings and single calendar months. Unlike phase one milestones, each month is treated individually. With phase two milestones for SSI beneficiaries, ENs are eligible for up to 18 payments of $234 per month. For SSDI beneficiaries, ENs are eligible for up to 11 payments at $407 per month. Please note that a ticket holder may not spend this many months at SGA while still receiving benefits. It is possible that the benefits from Social Security will cease prior to the payment of all phase two milestones, in which case the beneficiary will move into outcome payments. An EN will receive a reconciliation payment for any missed phase one or phase two payments after outcome payment number 12. The EN does not have to request this payment. It's made automatically. the payment rates will be the rates for the year phase one and or phase two milestones were stopped due to the beneficiary going back, going into a suspense mode, which is due to work and earnings. Okay, so once the ticket holder earns enough money to stop receiving benefits, he or she is said to be in zero federal cash benefits status. At this point, the EN is no longer eligible to receive milestone payments. Instead, the EN can begin requesting and receiving outcome payments. As shown here, if the ticket holder was receiving SSI, the EN can receive up to 60 payments of $234 each. If the ticket holder was receiving SSDI benefits, the EN can receive up to 36 payments of $407 per month. All right, so we've discussed the payments to ENs and how they're divided into two phases. Let's take a look at what exclusions apply to these rules. It is possible that the ticket holder may have earned this level of income prior to engaging with the EN. In this case, the ticket holder had reached these income levels without the assistance provided by the EN. If so, then the EN is not eligible to receive these payments. Hence, one or more phase one milestones will not be available for payments. The prior earnings rule applies for earnings at trial work level or above between the date of disability onset and the ticket assignment date for a maximum period of 18 months. If the date of disability onset, or DDO as it's referred, is before the 18-month period, then the prior earnings rule is applied for the months between that DDO and the ticket assignment date. The 18-month look-back tool is available to assist the ENs in determining if or which phase milestone are not available. Another exclusion here is related to state vocational rehabilitation involvement. So if the VR serviced a beneficiary and received cost reimbursement payments in 2002 or later, that same VR is ineligible to act as an employment network for that beneficiary under the same ticket number. If the VR serviced a beneficiary under the cost reimbursement payment method and submitted a successful closure status code in 2002 or later, then phase one milestones are unavailable. Let's take a closer look at the prior earnings rule. This is a busy slide with a lot of information, but there are four rules related to prior earnings that affect payments for phase one milestones. Let's look at bullet number one in the upper left corner. So in this case, if the ticket holder achieved trial work level earnings in the month prior to ticket assignment, then the EN cannot receive the phase one milestone one payment. And in this example, the earnings month is in May and the ticket assignment month is in June. The second bullet here is related to if the ticket holder achieved trial work level earnings in three of the 6 months prior to ticket assignment, then the phase one milestone payment is unavailable to the EN due to the 18-month look-back rule. So in this example, the ticket holder achieved trial work level earnings in February, April, and May, and then assigned their ticket in July. So since the ticket holder achieved trial work level earnings in 3 of the 6 months prior to the ticket assignment, the EN would not receive the Phase 1 Milestone 2 payment. Now, the third bullet on the lower left corner is referring to the fact that the ticket holder achieved trial work level earnings in 6 of the 12 months prior to ticket assignment. Then the Phase 1 Milestone 3 payments is unavailable to the EN. Similarly, in bullet number 4, we have Phase 1 Milestone 4 payments with the beneficiary achieving trial work level in 6 of 12 months prior to ticket assignment, which also makes the EN So just to clarify for bullet number 4, if the ticket holder achieved trial work level earnings in 9 of the 18 months prior to ticket assignment, I believe I used another number there, then the Phase 1 Milestone 4 payment is unavailable to the EN. Thanks for that clarification, Deborah.
Someone in the chat room.
Okay. Yeah, this is a busy slide. So, again, thanks for that clarification. All right. Now, this 18-month look-back tool is available for your use. We recognize that it may not be easy for you to determine which payments you're eligible to receive. So this tool was created for that purpose. It can be downloaded from yourtickettowork.com. You can go to the Information Center, then click on Resource Documents, and under the Payments Resources section, you'll find this 18-month look-back tool. I see that this slide is actually referring to the Forms section on that page, but it actually is located under the Resource Documents section there. All right, now here's a sample of what the tool looks like. There's instructions inside of the tool. If you see on the far right there, the text that's listed, you'll find it right inside the tool. To use it, you first enter the ticket assignment date in the box on the far right, outlined in red. We have January of 2013 shown there. And this will generate the 18 previous months in the spreadsheet. Next, you enter an X in each of the months where the beneficiary had earnings above trial work level amounts for that year. A chart of trial work level amounts is provided on the spreadsheet for your reference. And when you've entered the appropriate X's in the columns, the spreadsheet will display the available milestone payments based on the rules described earlier. Feedback is this is very helpful for especially new ENs in determining what the eligibility might be for the first phase. Now let's assume a beneficiary has their ticket assigned to an EN and has been receiving milestone payments. The beneficiary has made substantial progress to the point that he or she is no longer receiving federal cash benefits. Since they are not receiving federal cash benefits, the beneficiary begins the outcome payment phase before the EN receives all of their milestone payments. A reconciliation payment is a one-time lump sum payment that Social Security automatically makes to an EN when a beneficiary enters the outcome payment period prior to the EN receiving all available Phase 1 and Phase 2 milestone payments. ENs do not need to submit a payment request for reconciliation payments. This payment will be made when the 12th outcome payment is approved and includes all milestones available at the time of the first ticket assignment that remain unpaid due to the start of the outcome payment period. Now, that's a mouthful, but trust me, we will calculate that, and that reconciliation payment will be made. All right, so now we're ready to submit a payment request. Let's review what's necessary for this important step of the payment process. As an employment network, you're entitled to receive payments for the services you provide that help beneficiaries along the path to self-sufficiency. In order to receive these payments, you will need to complete and submit the payment request form. And here's an example of what the first page of that form looks like. Before we take a look at the form, we need to discuss the two types of payment requests, evidentiary and certification. Evidentiary requests, these must include primary evidence. Primary evidence includes pay stubs, earning statements prepared and signed by the employer, or earning statements from the work number, which is a third-party service that provides monthly earnings amounts. Whatever the primary evidence is, it must have the following information: the beginning and end dates of the pay period, along with the actual pay date, gross earnings for the claimed month, the year-to-date gross earnings, and withholding. The only exception is that if the work number is used, then withholdings do not need to be present. An important note in regards to evidentiary evidence is that this information cannot be handwritten onto the pay stubs or the pay statements. They need to be pre-printed and included on those stubs. However, if pay stubs are missing the pay periods and or pay dates, or the gross earnings are illegible, you may submit an EN supplemental earnings statement. The form requires the EN organization name, DUNS number, beneficiary name, and Social Security number, and all of the details of the earnings for the claim month. It also requires an EN representative signature and date. And this form can also be found on the Ticket to Work website in the Forms section of the Information Center. Now let's take a look at the second type of request, which is a certification payment request. This request option makes it possible for your employment network to receive a payment even when you are unable to obtain primary evidence, such as a pay stub. In this case, the first thing you will have to do is include secondary earnings information. And there's four types of secondary earnings. One type of secondary evidence is a recent dated contact. This is where you have had recent contact with either the beneficiary or the employer and confirmed that the beneficiary has earnings that qualify for either a milestone or outcome payment. If you're using a recent dated contact, you will need to include the type of contact that occurred, such as a phone call or an email, the date when the contact took place, and a description of the information you learned regarding the beneficiary's earnings level. The second is a quarterly beneficiary earnings record, or QBER as it's known, which you have received from the operations support manager. This includes earnings alerts you receive if you're signed up for Universal Auto Pay. And we'll review Universal Auto Pay later in the presentation. Including a QBER does not guarantee payment, but it provides information for a possible payment. The third is data you have received from the National Directory of New Hires Information or Unemployment Compensation Insurance Records, which lists possible quarterly earnings information. And lastly, the fourth is the self-employment income form. A self-employment income form may be submitted along with the payment request when self-employment earnings are being submitted for outcome or milestone claims. If this form is submitted, the actual self-employment income form must be completed and signed by the ticket holder, and must include monthly gross income, monthly gross expenses, and a signed statement from the beneficiary certifying self-employment. Employment networks may also submit payment requests with attachments showing indications of earnings and annotate on the payment request that this is a self-employment income claim. Milestone claims will not be paid until self-employment income earnings are verified. Outcome claims may be paid immediately. However, Social Security may detect an overpayment during the annual validation review process. And during this review, Social Security checks annual earnings records to determine self-employment income earnings reported to the IRS. If monthly earnings are less than substantial gainful activity, Social Security will assess overpayments for each month and outcome is paid. The second item you will need to include as part of a certification request is a payment agreement. This agreement states that the employment network will either repay the amount or allow the amount to be deducted from future payments if it is determined later that the employment network was not entitled to the payment. One important note about certification requests, they do take a little longer to process because they are considered alleged earnings. So SSA does need to verify the information before a payment is processed. Before we continue on to the payment request form, I want to go back a minute. There was a question that we received from an EN in regards to pay stubs and why pay stubs need to be included with the payment request for evidentiary evidence. The question was related to the fact that when a beneficiary submits a pay slip to the EN and the EN submits it with a payment request, she was assuming that this information goes to the main SSA office for approval prior to the EN receiving payment. Some local SSA offices request that beneficiaries send pay slips to them also. So the question was, well, does that mean that the local SSA office does not have access to the same system as the main office uses to approve payments to the EN? It seems to be a duplication of effort. So, Deborah, can you clarify that a little bit, please?
Yes. Let me just say this. When I'm not sure what the EN meant by main office. I took that to mean central office, which are SSA headquarters located in Woodlawn, Maryland. As far as ENs or beneficiaries submitting evidence of earnings, Social Security has informed beneficiaries, and ENs should do the same with beneficiaries as far as informing them that whenever they work, they are to submit to their local field offices evidence of their earnings when they are working. This is to protect the beneficiary. For one thing, we want to make sure that the beneficiary is working at trial work level and has met the requirements for the trial work period. The other part of it is we want to make sure that beneficiaries are not overpaid, so they should report their earnings to the local field office. The headquarters of Social Security does not key earnings. Headquarters does not verify earnings. So I don't know why, or if they're talking about the EN was mentioning the main office being Social Security headquarters, there is no component at headquarters that verify earnings or does anything with these pay stubs other than to submit them or mail these documents to Maximus. Maximus will then enter these earnings into our database, which will result in the field office eventually performing a work CDR or a confirmation or verification of earnings. It's good to send for EN to submit these pay stubs in with the payment request, because payment request is the best evidence, supporting evidence for earnings that anyone can supply, and with pay stubs, we can pay EN right away. Now, you know, you may say, well, why should I do this if I'm submitting these earnings into the local field office? Why should I submit them in with my payment request? Well, first thing, it's a requirement for EN to submit some sort of evidence of earnings in with the payment request. Now, it may be possible that the beneficiary did submit their pay stub into the field office, but the field office hasn't had an opportunity to input those earnings or to post them. So if we were to receive a payment request without evidence of earnings and the field office hasn't had an opportunity to post those earnings, then we would not make the payment. So, first of all, any earnings or pay stubs that are submitted to headquarters office are not submitted for Social Security to form any type of validation or input. You really should, if you're going to report earnings, they should go to your local field office. They have a process in place, and they have the resources to do that process. But with a payment request, since it is a requirement to submit evidence of some type of earnings, and as Janet just mentioned, if you don't have primary evidence, if you don't have any evidence of earnings at all, just a report of contact from the beneficiary, it's going to take quite a while for those earnings to be verified and for you to get paid. And this is for, and here I'm talking about milestone claims. Now, for outcome claims, we can take that secondary evidence and make a payment, but the EN is taking a big risk with that because at the point where earnings are eventually validated, if they are less than what were alleged on these outcome payment requests, you will be charged with an overpayment.
Great. Well, thanks for that clarification, Deborah. There are a couple of questions in the chat related to this topic. Why are so many local offices telling SSDI people that they do not have to report their earnings? We've had several people told this when they call to report their earnings.
And I'm not sure why. I can't say why the local field offices are telling them this. Now, what I think it may be, what could be the situation is if these beneficiaries are already in a suspense due to worker earnings status, have already been, their federal monthly benefit has already stopped, they don't have to continue to report this because Social Security does not perform a work CDR on beneficiaries who are in a suspense status. But other than that, if the beneficiary is still receiving a monthly federal benefit, those earnings should be reported to Social Security. We want to make sure that the beneficiary is not overpaid. Now, another way to get those earnings posted is if the EN would submit these earning reports with their payment request, Maximus will input those earnings.
Great. Thanks, Deborah, for that clarification. And that's a great segue into the payment request form. So let's take a look at that a little closely. The payment request form can be mailed in, faxed in, or the preferred method is to submit it via the secure provider portal. When submitting it online, it will automatically fill in your employment network name, the DUNS number, and next you will want to state whether your employment network's bank account information is current with the Systems Award Manager, also known as SAM. If it is not, you will need to visit www.sam.gov or call the number on the form to update the information. Any incorrect or outdated information will prevent or delay payment to the EN. It is very important that you verify accuracy of the banking information. If you do find that you need to change this banking information after the initial setup, please alert us of the change and we can place any pending payments on hold to ensure the change is effective and prevent any misrouting of payments that are currently being processed. That's a real important step there. So to complete the payment request form, you'll go ahead and enter the beneficiary SSN, the employer name and address, and the payment method for ticket assignment. Click the next button. The portal then walks you through each section of the payment request form, allowing you to enter all of the necessary information. We won't go into that in detail today. That's a whole other training session, and there is information available on our website. The resource document is available that outlines each of these steps to completing the portal version of the payment request form in detail, and you can access that document through the Information Center on the YourTicketToWork.com website under the resource document section. There's also a Ticket Training Tuesday series that included a training session on submitting this payment request form that you can find in the training session of the Information Resource Center. In addition to that resource, there's other resources available on the portal. Two other documents that may be helpful for you. One is how to upload scanned forms, and this one walks you through how to upload documents to the portal. And if you have supporting documents that need to be included with your payment request form, this would be helpful for you. The How to Use Transaction History walks you through retrieving your document that you've uploaded from history. It also provides some filtering that allows you to select your forms, types, and review other documents as well as the payment request form. And again, this is all available through the online website at the Information Center link under the Secure Provider Portal and Interactive Voice Response Resource section on that website. Now, the EN Payment Status Report is a good resource for you as well for follow-up on any payment requests you've submitted. You can access this report as well through the portal, and under the payment section, you'll see the EN Payment Status Report. As shown here, your report will include year-to-date payment activity data. It includes the date each payment request was received, the beneficiary name, payments details, and all the information displayed on the slide here. This report is best to determine whether a payment has been denied or approved. And if 30 days have passed since your payment request was sent to Social Security by Operations Support Manager and a payment or denial has not been issued and is noted here, you may contact the Payment Help Desk for more information. It is possible that the case was put on hold. There may be some additional processing required by the Social Security field office, or there may be additional information that must be submitted. So the last topic we're going to cover here is the Universal Auto Pay system. Let's see how that works. Universal Auto Pay allows an eligible EN to receive payments more quickly. When you sign up, all your beneficiaries will be included. This means that you will not have to sign up each of your beneficiaries individually. Instead, you sign up for this service only once. The first outcome payment is the trigger that starts the auto pay process. Once this outcome payment request is approved, no further requests need to be made for that beneficiary. Instead, you automatically receive the payments after the request is approved. For the first 12 outcome payments, you receive payments on the first week of the fourth month following the claim month. So, for example, if the claim month is April, you receive the payment during the first week of August. For outcome payments 13 and onward, you will receive payments on the first week following the claim month. So if the claim month is July, you'll receive the payment during the first week of August. So how do you sign up for the Universal Auto Pay? The process is quite simple. The first step is to determine whether your organization meets the eligibility requirements. Let's take a look at those now. First, your EN must have a current contract and must be in good standing with Social Security. Your EN must have 5 or more tickets assigned. Additionally, your EN should not have been overpaid. However, if your EN did receive an overpayment, it must be in a position to pay back any overpayment, meaning that your EN not only has the means to pay it back, but that it has a positive record of paying back overpayments. And finally, your EN must have a signed repayment agreement. Once your EN meets the eligibility requirements for Universal Auto Pay, you complete and submit the Universal Auto Pay request form. This form includes that requisite repayment agreement. The form is available again on our website in the form section of the Information Center, and you can upload the completed and signed form via the portal upload process that we mentioned previously. now take a closer look at how the outcome payments are made under the Universal AutoPay system once you are enrolled. Universal AutoPay covers all outcome payments. It's triggered by the request for outcome one and then becomes fully automated with the second outcome payment. So under Universal AutoPay, the only outcome payment that requires a request is the first one. Remember, for the first 12 outcome payments, you receive payments on the first week of the fourth month following the claim month. In our previous example, if the claim month is April, you receive the payment during the first week of August. However, this time lag is decreased as you move into the 13th outcome payment. At this point, you receive payments on the first week following the claim month. So if the claim month is July, you receive the payment during the first week of August. In order for this to happen, a catch-up payment is made. Now here's just a reminder that while Universal AutoPay relieves you of the administrative burden of submitting payment requests, you still need to submit the certification of services for two of the payment intervals, Outcome 11 and Outcome 22. Again, more information can be found regarding the certification of services if you review the training on our website. Woo! So we made it through all of the primary content of our review for this year. Lots of good information. Let me review again with you what resources you have available, and then we'll open up the call for any questions that you may have regarding what we've shared today. So on our website, again, yourtickettowork.com, you can go to the Information Center. You'll find information on our calendar of events that include this call and other calls that it provides a forum for you to receive and review information. There's also a training link there that has training materials and presentations. And again, I would highly recommend the Ticket Training Tuesday sessions that occur each month. The resource documents is another link that has a lot of good information associated with the various processes we covered today. In addition, we have several phone resources that are available for you. The phone number listed here, 866-949-3687, is our primary number. The option one is where you can go to review ticket assignability. It's through our IVR system. And option two provides you links to our payment and our systems help desk. Payment help desk will be available to provide any answers to questions that you have regarding your payments that have been submitted, the status of those, or any additional questions you have, while the systems help desk focuses on portal-specific questions associated with any of the portal processes. Our fax number is also listed there. Okay, so lots of information that we covered today. It was a year in review, and we'd love to have the opportunity to answer any additional questions that you may have. Frank, if you can open up the lines, we're ready to take some questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the 1-4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. Once again, to register a question, please press the 1-4 on your telephone. One moment, please, for the first question. We have a question from the line of Sharon Newman. Please proceed.
Yes. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Sharon.
Good. I've got two questions. The first one is I have a beneficiary that is in milestone two. My problem is he's no longer receiving any governmental cash benefits. And I can't get him to send me any more of his pay stuff so that I can continue to get paid. What are my options, or do I have any options? The second part of my question is, I have been trying to get the beneficiary CD, and I have talked to my, my person, my liaison, and I have no recourse. I get no response about that.
Okay, first let me respond to your first question about the beneficiary.
Yes.
If it's phase two milestone, then you would not be eligible for phase two milestone if the beneficiary is no longer a federal beneficiary.
I got that. That's just common sense. I get paid if he no longer sends me his pay stuff. But do I have any recourse?
Yes,
can I go to Social Security and get his pay stuff? Or do I have to actually have the beneficiary send me those stuff?
You can, if you know the beneficiary, you have a couple things you can do. You know the beneficiary is working, if you know where they're working, you can send in a certification request, basically stating that you've had recent contact with the beneficiary, you know they're working, that their earnings are above SGA level, if that's the case, and tell us where they're working. And we can accept if the beneficiary meets the requirements of their pay status or whatever, it's a possibility you could get outcome payment.
But I have to go get it from the company to verify that, is what you're telling me?
No. If you have had recent contact with the beneficiary at some point and know where they're working and they have told you that, you could just submit that. Or you can subscribe to a third party to get earnings information. The one that a number of ENs use is called the work number. We consider that primary evidence. So you can get paid right away if you subscribe to the work number. And if you have an account manager, they can give you information on that as far as the how to get in touch with that entity and obtain earnings information. And from what I understand, if you get the information a certain way, like maybe by way of paper, you don't have to pay for it. But if you get it for automated process, there is a fee for that. So you could do that for any of your beneficiaries.
Okay, and what did you call it, the work number? Do you have that number?
No, I don't have the work number. You can get that information from your account manager.
I tried. My account manager don't respond to me.
Okay,
I've sent several questions, and he don't respond.
Okay, could you give me the name of your EN?
Sharon Newman. I'm the EN.
Okay, Sharon Newman. Okay,
yes.
We'll pass this information on to our EN development and training manager.
Okay.
The issues that you're out identifying right now, your beneficiary fee is another one. You're not getting that. As well as not response from your account manager, non-response.
Yes.
We'll pass that on to that department.
Okay, because I have the information where he's working and he's still at the same job, and he makes more than the SGA. For some reason, because see, they stopped his governmental cash benefits in November, and I can't get him to send me his pay stuff for the month of November, but I know he still works there.
Well, you mean November 2014?
Yes.
Okay, so it's just 1 month, okay? So you would submit your payment request this month or last month, okay?
How do I make the request?
You could make the request by doing a payment request as a certification request, and you check off the box under certification request contact with beneficiary. And then it's going to prompt you for some information on the form, like the name of the employer, the address, or something.
But I won't have any evidence. I don't have a check stub.
You don't need that for evidential request. And
just
put a statement in there, beneficiary is working above SGA.
Okay, I got you. Just like I do a payment request and it asks me all those questions.
Yes.
I got it. Yeah, because I always do the evidentiary form. I always submit that alone with the pay stub. But now, since he's no longer getting any SSI, I guess he just decided, but he's still working and I still need to get paid.
Well, if this beneficiary is no longer getting a monthly benefit check, more than likely, he's in an outcome status. And
for
outcome payment, it's easier for us to process a certification request. We don't have to have the primary evidence to pay an outcome. But again, the EN is taking a risk because if later we get validation, a verification of earnings that are below SGA level, then you may be an overpayment. But normally,
EN
take that risk because ENs who are not getting a monthly beneficiary, monthly benefit payment normally are in outcome status.
Yes, I got it. Yes, I understand. I got it. Now, what about my CD? I've been trying to get the beneficiary CD. Like I said, my account specialist does not respond to me. I don't know if they're busy, if they still working there or what, but I can't get them to respond.
Ms. Newman, this is Danielle Armstrong from Social Security. Who is your account manager, or how are you trying to contact them? You said you're not getting any response.
That's Roger.
We will get that information to the manager of that department, and we'll make sure. This is not a payment.
Okay.
So that's another department, but we'll get that information over there so that you can get your.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, baby.
Okay.
I appreciate y'all. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Sharon, for your question.
Thank you. Y'all have a good holiday.
Yes, happy holidays to you. Now, the work number is a third-party company. You can as easily as Google them, and you'll get their information will pop up online. It's very easy to access and interface with them.
Okay, what do you call it, the work number? Is that what I'm going to look for?
Yeah, it's simply called the work number. That's the name of the company that provides the service. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, baby, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Frank, is there another question for us?
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, great. We had several questions through the chat room that were also answered through that forum. Thank you again for your participation today. We do hope that the information shared was helpful for you. Our next call will be on January 27th, 2015. Remember, this forum is for your benefit, so if you have any questions you want explored or an agenda topic to propose, please send us a message to the EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com. And thanks again for your participation today. It was a good session. Happy holidays to everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. Have a great day, everyone.